The Athenians voted in Pericles' favour. Not a surprise. He was an accomplished orator. And also, what's the normal reaction to an ultimatum? You want to resist it. A second assembly then met in Sparta to discuss the Athenian rejection. So obviously, an Athenian embassy had to go to Sparta, taking with it news of the assembly's rejection. Now, at this second meeting of the Appella, the Spartan assembly, despite a speech by the Spartan king Archidamus against war, the ephor, Sithenelaidas, carried the day. Despite Archidamus saying that the war was going to be costly, that the current sons of the Spartans would inherit it because it would go on for that long, and he turned out to be right, nevertheless, Sithenelaidas was able to persuade the Spartans that the Athenians had broken the 30 years' peace. And as a result, the Spartans declared war on the Athenians. They planned to invade Attica in the following spring of 431 at the start of the campaigning season. And so the Peloponnesian War has begun. Now, I'd like to ask some questions about these immediate causes, as Thucydides gives them to us, and then I'd like to try to work out who was responsible for the declaration of war. Well, I know I've already given you my answer, but now you'll get to see some of my thinking. Although the Spartans were the technical aggressors in the Peloponnesian War, because after all, they were the ones who formally declared it, the question is whether they were forced to do so by Pericles, who used key Spartan allies as pawns. The three immediate causes, Corcyra, Potidaea, Megara, can be plausibly explained as Athens acting in its own economic and security best interests, and we've mentioned these in the last few minutes. So, the alliance with Corcyra gained Athens a valuable ally on the trade route to the west, economic. It's important to note that the alliance that Athens made with Corcyra was defensive only. It wasn't offensive and defensive. In other words, Athens would come to Corcyra's aid only if it were attacked. If Corinth didn't do anything, then there would have been no hostilities between Athens and Corinth. This defensive alliance then didn't break the terms of the 30 years' peace. What about the moves against Potidaea and Megara for security reasons? Well, as we said, Potidaea was really close to these timber supplies that the Athenians needed. And a union of Perdiccas of Macedonia, Corinth and Potidaea would be problematic for Athens in that area, no question about that. Potidaea was fortified, and so it would become a serious stronghold if this triple alliance came about. Having Potidaea dismantle its fortifications made some sense then, and Corinth was a bit of a wild card by now. The same goes for the Megarian decree, given Megara's location. Any army from the Peloponnese would have an easy access route into Attica. In none of Athens' actions was it acting against Sparta itself. In none of its actions was it breaking the terms of the 30 years' peace. However, the other side of the coin is that Pericles was exploiting key Spartan allies to force the Spartans to action, as I said before. If Thucydides saw that war between Sparta and Athens was inevitable because of the growth of Athens' power, something that showed no signs of abating, then so did a statesman of Pericles' caliber. Oh, I don't like him, but I admire how savvy he was. And not just Pericles for that matter, a goodly number of Athenians must have known this as well.